Good morning, everyone. We are here all together, junior high and high school, which is kind of fun and kind of weird, but mostly fun. So it's so good to see you guys. I feel like we've only been not meeting with as Overflow for a couple weeks, but doesn't it feel like it's been a really long time since we were together last? It's crazy. But so good to be together this morning. And as I was kind of praying through our first Sunday back together in the new year, which what's crazy to me is it feels like 2019 feels like forever ago, right? Like it's only been 12 days and Christmas hasn't even been a month ago, but it feels like it's been forever. And I don't know about you guys, but growing up, I had what was called family meetings. Any of you guys have family meetings? So essentially my dad or mom would call a family meeting for three types of things. Number one was if someone was in trouble. So like the first recollection of a family meeting that I have was I used to play baseball in my front yard against a really small wall with like a planter in front of it. Like it was probably the worst place to throw a baseball against, but I would throw it, like practice my pitching, get the ball back. And one time it dinked off the side and shattered and in like a huge bay window in my neighbor's house, like shattered it. I grabbed the baseball, ran inside. And the next day, my neighbors came over, and they're like, hey, our window's broken. Did Trevor break it? Because they knew I threw baseball in the front yard, stuff like that. I denied it, so called a family meeting until one of us confessed of doing it, and I didn't. I waited like 3 weeks until I confessed about it. But that was the first family meeting I can remember. So if someone was in trouble, for sure, family meeting was in order. We'd get together in my living room, sit us down. All right, let's talk. Second reason was if there was like a big change. So we got a puppy when I was in seventh grade. That was a good time. His name was Gromit. He was a Labradoodle before they were trendy. We had one, and he was the best. Died at 16, RIP. I love him. But we got him. I got picked up from junior lifeguards, and he was in the car. And I was like, what is this black dog doing here? And they're like, it's ours. Ah. So we had a meeting of, like, who's going to take care of it, who's going to feed it, who's going to walk it. We all had our responsibilities. My parents ended up doing all of it. It was great. Or when my family went through some financial hard trip, we had a family meeting, had a conversation about how things might be changing, won't be eating out as much, things like that. So someone's in trouble, big change. The third thing is if we were like apart from each other for a long time, like my dad was an architect and for a while he would be gone for like a week or so at a time, doing some developments or things like that, or during really busy seasons where me and my two brothers had sports and we were all over the place, there's that sense where it's like there's no, like we're all on different pages. Like everyone's running around. We haven't had dinner together in a while. So it's kind of like, all right, family meeting. Let's like get back into like remembering like who we are as a family and what we're doing. So as I was praying through this morning, I thought, how about we have a family meeting? Now, not for the first two reasons. No one's in trouble, I don't think. There's not really any huge changes for us to talk about other than we're all here and it's awesome. But the third one, it's been a couple weeks and I think it's good for us to remind ourselves of why we're here and what it is that we're doing together. What is it that we want to do together? Because the reality is this, none of you have to be here right now. Maybe some of you were forced to be here. But most of you, I would hope, are here because you find some value of being here. I see a lot of new faces. Some of you may be dragged here by a friend or someone, and I'm grateful that you're here. Welcome to the family meeting. Don't feel awkward. I've been a friend. Have you ever been a friend at a family meeting? You never want to be a friend at a family meeting, except for today. You want to be a friend at a family meeting. Welcome. You're part of the family, too. But yeah, so I think it's important for us to just be reminded, okay, like, what is it that we're doing together and why is it that we're here? Is it just, we're just showing up to church because that's what we're supposed to do? Or is there something deeper that we're doing together that we want to get at? So two things we're doing this morning. Are you ready for it? I'm gonna reveal to you the two things we're going to do. I'm going to give some reminders and just some simple encouragement for us as an Overflow family continuing into 2020. And then we're going to do a reflection exercise that I see some of you guys are like already done with, which is awesome. But it's not, so put it under your seat. Put it under your seat, upside down. I'm just kidding. You're not in trouble, but put it under your seat. We'll do that at the end, and I'll kind of explain that as we get there. But this morning's a little different, really simple. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll dive right in. God, we acknowledge you again this morning that this is about you, that we're here to learn and grow in what it means to relate to you, to receive your love, to love as an overflow of that. And I just pray wherever we're at this morning, whether we're here and we'd rather just be in bed asleep, or we're excited to be here and we're looking forward to whatever you have for us, I just pray that you would have something for us and ultimately that we would encounter you through your word and through this important conversation about what it is that we're doing together. So we love you. In your name. Amen. All right. So at the beginning of the year, I had spent a lot of time praying through what we do here as Overflow. As many of you know, there's a transition this year where Chad, whom we love, transitioned out, him and Erica, and I kind of in this new role where I get to think about not just junior high, but I get to think about all of Overflow and high school, and it's been challenging, but for the three of us, it's been really cool because it's kind of been, we've been forced to really think about, okay, what is the essence of what we're doing here? As I looked through scripture and prayed about it, one of Paul's prayers came to the forefront of my mind of what it is that we want to be about. For the season of your life from 6th grade to 12th grade, a formational and a foundational season of your life that ultimately defines who you are as a person, as you discover and ask these big questions about life and what it means to be human and what it means to relate to God and what it means to grow and learn and all of those things. And this is what it says. This is the NLT version. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. So I want to break this down for a moment. This first part of Paul's prayer says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. The name Overflow has taken on a lot of different meanings over the years, but about 10 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago, we decided that we want to kind of brand our youth group. We want to call it Overflow, right? Super sexy, super cool. The reason for it, though, is not just to be something really cool. There is some meaning behind it, right? Throughout Scripture, in the Psalms, in prayers, and different things, there's this image of overflowing, that people receiving something from God and overflowing with praise and gratitude or love or whatever it may be. And the image of something overflowing, right, if you imagine like a cup and you're pouring water into it and it overflows, it means something. It means that that cup is receiving more than it needs, and whatever is being spilled out is what it is going, right? And I think a lot of times, as followers of Jesus, we live out of an empty place in our own strength. We hear the commandments, we hear what we should be doing, and we try to live into that, but just out of our own strength, rather than looking to God and our communion with him being what spills over into our life. And that is what we want for us, that you would learn how to be in communion with God, connect with him, receive whatever it is that he wants to give you, and out of that, you would overflow, that your love would overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. How many of you go to school? Raise your hand. If you don't, I'm reporting you. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know what you would do. If one of you were like, I don't go to school, I'd be like, cool, that's awesome. You're probably way more rested than any of us. We understand, right? We get what it means to learn, right? We know what it means to grow in our knowledge and understanding of a lot of various different things that we're doing. But it is a little bit different here, right? When we come here to grow in our knowledge of understanding of who God is and what it means to follow him, there's some weight to that, right? I think all the things that we learn in school are incredibly important, except for geometry. But everything else is really important. But when we're here, right, everything we're doing, we want to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God. That is why we are here. this next line I love more than anything in the world. For I want you to understand what really matters. This is the part of this prayer that hit me like a ton of bricks. For I want you to understand what really matters. How easy is it to forget what really matters? So easy, right? I was just on vacation with Natalie. We were on like our dream trip to Italy and France and Normandy and all these different places. And it wasn't very long before I was really stressed out because I really like food and I wanted to make sure that we went to the right places. But if you've ever been, there's like 9,000 pasta restaurants in Italy and they all claim to be the best and they all have about 4.5 reviews on Yelp and you don't ever really know and they all claim to be the local spot, all this stuff. Anyway, so I was stressed out. But it was a great trip. We did a lot of stuff, a lot of art, a lot of cool things. But there was moments throughout the trip where I had to remind myself, Natalie had to remind me, of what really mattered, right? Of we're here together. We get to be away from home to rest and to learn and to enjoy and to see a different part of the world. And it didn't hit me more than when we went to Normandy in France, which is where the World War II, in World War II, Normandy was the area of France where the U.S. and Britain and Canada all invaded to liberate France from Nazi Germany. Ton of history there, but particularly there's one beach called the Omaha Beach. And if you're learning about U.S. history, this was one of the bloodiest, most Americans died here than a lot of other places in the war. In Normandy alone, it was 30,000 American men died in liberating France. It's insane. So we stood on a beach, and we had a tour guide. It was just Natalie and I because it was kind of off-season. And he shared with us about all of the men who had died and the things that went wrong. And then we went up to a cemetery, and half of the men that died on that beach were buried there. It was about 9,000 men because the families got to choose whether or not they wanted the bodies to go back to the United States or to be buried in Normandy. So they're buried there, and it was a U.S. cemetery. And we looked out at 9,000 crosses that represented an average age of 22-year-old men and women. And I remember sitting there, and I was like, okay, like this is super heavy. And that moment where it like hits you, and you're like, okay, the things that I was worrying about a lot on this trip didn't really matter. Like, we're talking life and death here, right? Those were the things that mattered most in that moment. And I think, like, understanding what really matters is so powerful. It can, like, transform how you live your life, right? And there's so many different distractions because for whatever reason, we live now in a world where probably more distracted than ever before. There's some really awesome things with phones and technology and stuff that people probably talk about all the time now, and you guys hear of like, you gotta put your phone away, you gotta do all this stuff. But if you just sit and think about it for a moment, how easily distracted we are, and how many advertisements we see, and pulling up YouTube for a second, and the algorithm tells you what videos to watch, what to care about, what matters most, right? It just throws it at you. So, ultimately, what matters most for us, scripture is really clear. And we hear it all the time. Ultimately, what matters is that we understand God's love for us, which we can never fully understand. So it's a lifelong journey understanding that. And as we do that, that we would be transformed by God into people of love, that we'd become the kind of people that love God and love others more and more and more out of that overflow. So that's what ultimately matters. And we need to be reminded of that, right? We talk about it all the time. But what about those like little moments, like in a fight with a friend, or there's stuff going on at home and you're like, I do not know how to navigate this. Or you're like so focused on your sport because you love it, but you're also like, that's all you can think about. And a win or a loss feels like everything. Or college decision process. And you're like, this is one of the biggest decisions of my life. Like, what if I make the wrong decision, right? We have decisions all laid before us every single day. How do we know what really matters? And my hope for us is that we would look to God, we would look to scripture, we would look to people that we trust to really understand what matters in the moment, to be able to discern and figure out, okay, you know what? This friendship drama right now is really hard. But what matters most is that I love my friend well in the midst of it, even as we go through this really difficult thing. Or, yes, you know what? You might make a wrong decision in choosing what college to go to, but what matters most is that one decision does not define your entire life, right? These are wisdom that we can glean from Scripture, and that when we're communed with God, when we're together with Him, He's with us in it. He says, my yoke is easy. He doesn't say life's going to be easy, but He says that His yoke is easy. Yoke is like, we have no idea what yokes are, but some of you might know, but it's like an oxen they look like big buffalo. Or horses that work and they plow the fields back in the day. They would have a yoke and there'd be two of them yoked together, and the older one would carry most of the load and the younger one would catch up and do some of the work, right? So this image is we're doing the work. We're making these decisions. God's not just going to make the decisions for us. Maybe sometimes He gives us the grace of a more clear understanding of what's next, but He's with us in it. The God of the universe is yoked with us in the midst of these things, helping us see what matters most and leading us that way. The next part. All of this so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. A lot of words there. Some of them are hard to understand, but it's very simple. This is all so that we would be motivated by God to live lives that honor and glorify Him. Not just make decisions, but that we would actually become, like in our character. Character is like the core part of who we are. That we wouldn't just like be patient to our brother and sister, but that we would become the kind of person who is patient in the midst of really difficult times or in the midst of things that we're doing, right? Or become the kind of person that can love others even when they're not loving us. This is God's vision for us, that a sinful people, broken, not as we should be, by the power of God's forgiveness and His mercy and His grace in us, that He would make us into people who live pure and blameless lives until He returns. And the fruit of our salvation, the fruit of what Jesus has done for us, that would produce in us a life that would honor God. Our hope for you guys, our prayer for us, is that we would fall in love with Jesus, that His love would overflow more and more, that we would understand what really matters, and that we would grow in our character, not just in our knowledge and understanding, but in who we are. So, with that said, we often talk about values in overflow. Like, what are like the values that we have? But I think a better way to put it is, like, what are our hopes for you in these 6th through 12th grade, or for however much time you have left, that when you transition into adulthood, into a different season of life from overflow, there's certain things that we hope for you, that we pray for you, that we want for you. The first one that we often talk about is that we want you guys in overflow and us as a church to have a passion for Scripture. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but how many of you could honestly look each other in the eyes or me in the eyes and say, I've got a passion for Scripture. Like, I'm just hungry for it. Right? I couldn't either. Maybe some of you have, and I'm stoked, and I want to give you a hug, and I want to learn from you. I want a passion for Scripture, though. I want a passion, a hunger for God's Word. Right? You're not going to get everything. You're not going to get every answer answer to all of your questions, right? It never ends. But to know where to go and to hunger for God in His Word, that is what we want to have. The other thing is to be prayerful, not just to pray, not just to know how to fold your hands, bow your head before dinner and before bed. That's good. That's not bad. But to become prayerful people, that your life would become prayer, that your life would become being with God in your mind and in your heart, that you would walk with Him throughout your day, that you would acknowledge Him, that you would create space for time just with Him, that you would make decisions in your life towards that end, that we would become people of prayer. Because the reality is this, you will transition out of overflow when you're out of high school, right? and hopefully you remain connected to, if not this church, a church. But the reality is, your small group leader is not going with you. Cam, Jess, and I aren't going with you. Your parents aren't going with you, hopefully. Wherever it is that you're going, whether it be college or something else, you're independent. You're on your own. But we want you to have a relationship with God, to understand what it looks like to be with him. And prayer is one of the primary ways we do that. We want you to know what you believe. And by this, we simply mean we want you to have a firm foundation in your understanding of who God is. That you have a firm foundation, that you understand how to think, that you know what you believe. You can identify what you believe to be true. And that you would understand why you believe that. That you have good reasons for what you believe. That you have good reasons for the hope that you have in Jesus if you claim to be a follower of Jesus. Or that you have good reasons for the reasons why you're not following Jesus. We want you to know what you believe and to know why you believe it. That's why we do what we do. We don't want you just to feed you information. That's why we have discussion on Wednesday nights, so that you guys have a place to talk about these things. And that's why we're here on Sunday, so that we can learn and grow from God's word, all of these things. And the last one that I'm kind of adding on to the four kind of primary pillars that we talk about is I want us to have a vision for a life with God. I kind of just mentioned that a second ago, but I want us to have a vision for a life with God, not just a life for God, not just like doing things for him, but actually a life with him and what that would look like. And that is ultimately what the Christian life is. It is a life with Jesus now and forever. So those are our hopes for you, our values. And I think it's important just as we go into a new year to remember those things. Some of you have heard those a trillion times. Others of you, this is maybe your first time. But my encouragement for us is that maybe just focus on one of those this year. One of them. Focus on becoming a little more prayerful. Focus on praying for and hoping for and practicing a passion and a hunger for Scripture. Maybe you have a lot of questions about who God is and what this is all about. Ask those questions. Seek those answers. Maybe you believe something to be true, like you're confident in it. You have some good reasons, but maybe this is the year where you're like, I'm going to find those answers. I'm going to find the good reasons for the hope that I have in Jesus, apart from the fuzzy feelings I had at Hume that are awesome and totally good, but it's not enough to continue and sustain our faith in Jesus. So pick one. To close, I've got three practical encouragements. Are you ready? Paige? Cool. All right. Invest in community. This can mean a lot of different things, but all I'm saying is invest time and energy into community here and other and elsewhere. But particularly with Overflow, what that means is, or what it could mean is, be as consistent as you can. I recognize we have a lot of stuff going on, and not all of it is bad. Yes, some of us need to say no to a lot more things. Okay? But be as consistent as you can. I promise you, if you make Sundays and Wednesdays a priority, it will change your life. I promise you that. But be as consistent as you can. Maybe go on one trip. Some of you are like the I go on every trip since sixth grade, and that's awesome. I love you. But some of you in here have never been on an Overflow trip, and you don't have to, but you're invited, and they're awesome. And it's a great time for us to connect with one another and have space to get away and just focus on God. And all the things we're talking about, we do at our camps and trips and immersive trips and all those things. So invest in community. And then the other thing is a lot of us are really good at showing up, but we're not good at taking risks at getting to know other people. I have seen waves within the last 8 to 10 years of groups of individual students and groups of students that have made it their goal to make Overflow a welcoming place. And not just a welcoming place, but to actually invest in the lives of people around you. We have junior high and high school students all in here today. There's plenty of opportunity for you to look outside of yourself and make someone feel loved within our community. So maybe God's calling you to take a risk to get to know someone different. Make space for time with God. This is a non-negotiable. If you say that you want to grow in your relationship with God, you have to do this. There's no question. You have to do this. Make space in your day. Maybe for some of us, for me, I'm trying to make space. First thing when I wake up, before I look at my phone, before I do anything, I just spend a little bit of time in prayer, in a psalm, and in one of the gospels, and I just read and receive from God in that time. 10 minutes, 10, 15 to 30 minutes. Doesn't need to be long. Maybe some of you before bed, if you're night owls and weird, right before you go to sleep, instead of scrolling through Instagram in your bed until you fall asleep, maybe just sit there in your anxiety about the next day or in whatever it may be and just give it to God. Just be with him and receive his love. I think a good rule of thumb is scripture and prayer, but it can look however it needs to look. And if you need help understanding how to read scripture, how to understand it, or you have questions about that, please talk to us. We want to help you in that. If you need a plan, there's plenty of really good plans out there. Whether you're this year, you're like, I want to read through the whole Bible, or you're like, I just want to read one psalm the whole year, but I'm going to read it every day and just like know it, right? That's awesome too. I don't know what God's prompting you in, but we have to be in scripture. We have to spend time with God in the quiet without electronics. That's the rule. In quiet, alone, without electronics. Be with God, 10 minutes. If you need help, talk to us. I'm trying to do it too. It's vital. This is the time where we get to connect with him, where we get to practice being with him, where we get to be loved by him. And finally, invite someone into your journey with God. Don't expect someone to invite themselves into your life, okay? You have amazing leaders here that love you and that are thinking about you and that are writing you postcards and praying for you, even if you don't think they are, and are, yeah, all of that, right? The three of us on staff, we're doing that. A lot of your parents are. But take the risk of intentionally inviting someone into your life for two reasons. Are you ready? First one, to encourage you by listening. So just listen what's going on in your life. The second one is to keep you accountable. So if you're like, I want to spend 10 minutes a day before I look at my phone, someone in your life that can be like, hey, have you been doing that? And you're like, no. And they're like, you should do that. You're like, cool, right? Or for some of us, we really need someone to come alongside us. Maybe it's a really challenging season and there's a lot of fear and worry going into this year where you're like, I don't see much hope at the end of the tunnel right now. And you need someone to come alongside you and just be with you in that, right? Whatever it may be, invite them into it. And a great place to start is your small group leader, one of us on staff, maybe a family member who's following Jesus, junior high, maybe there's a high school student in here that you're like, wow, they're really cool. I'd like to know them. Ask them, say, hey, I'd like to get to know you. And I guarantee any of the high school students in this room would gladly hang out with you and share the little wisdom that they may have being a little farther along in the journey. That's the other rule. Someone older, someone farther along in the journey. I'm looking for that this year. I have amazing people in my life, but I'm always looking for more people, safe people who I can walk with me and keep me accountable. So pick one. Actually, just do all of them. Do all of those things. That's it. That's all I got. So pretty simple. If you want to write these down or take a picture of it, you can do that. But if you forget about it, which you will, I'll be reminding you of it all year, and it's going to be great. But that is this is our prayer for you guys. This is our hope for you guys. There's so much that we have an opportunity to do together. But ultimately, I want us to have a vision for a life with God. I want you to love Jesus. You can forget our names, but love Jesus, love each other, become people of love. These are some steps to start moving in that direction. So with that, we are going to be entering into a reflection time, and I want to give some instruction for it. So Cameron put together this little reflection exercise, which is really aesthetically pleasing and can be helpful. So as you're grabbing it, and it's louder than a bunch of fish in a barrel. I don't know if that's a thing, but is it a thing? About that loud. If you need one or if you need a pen, raise your hand and Jess and Cam will grab you one. So don't write it yet. All right, so in a moment, I'm going to give you some space. I'm going to give you some space to, if you want, you don't have to, you can stay where you are. But if you want to, you can kind of spread out in the room and use the floor or a table or somewhere as you do this, or you can just sit right where you are and use your knee to write on. But basically, it's split into two halves. One of them is reflecting on last year, which is 2019, which feels like a year ago. It was a long time ago. And to think back to last January is actually pretty crazy. But do the best you can to reflect and think about it. The second half is looking to what it would say on the sheet is next year, which really is this year because it's 2020. So when you hear next, just think 2020. But that's just thinking intentionally about this year, processing through what fears you have, what dreams you have, and all of that in light of what we just talked about. So here's my few little encouragements for this, or guidelines, I should say. Take your time on it. Don't feel like you have to just complete it, right? That's stupid. If you want to spend more time on it later, you can spend time on it at home. But take your time on it. Don't get hung up on any one thing. So unless you're like, I feel like I need to spend all of my time jotting down my fears and worries for the year, and the other things are like I don't even think about, then just stay there, right? I would encourage you to read all of them and to go in order as best you can. But if you get hung up on something, you're like, I don't know, don't worry about it, okay? Don't freak out. You can keep going. And then the other thing is just be mindful of people around you. If you do decide to get up and go somewhere around the room, don't, like, get with your five best friends and then, like, you're going to be tempted to start talking about your day. It's just what we do, right? So go somewhere that's not that distracting. If you feel like you'll be distracted, just stay where you are. And then when it's kind of time to start wrapping up, Jessica will come up to close us in a couple songs, a reflection song, and then just a song to close in worship. If you're still working on it and you're like, I feel like I should stay in this, like I want to keep working on this, do that. That time is for you to continue to do that. Otherwise, if you're done and you're kind of like, I'm done, then let's join together in singing and worshiping. But that end time, this is just for you to kind of process with God about last year and then looking into this year of just a little bit intentionally. Sound good? Sweet. Let me just bless us into that. God, would you bless us into this? Would you focus our hearts and minds on what matters most? And would you help us as we reflect on last year and what you may have been doing in our life and look to this year as we seek you, hopefully more than anything, but we know that we're bad at that. So we need you, God. Would your spirit just direct our hearts and minds to where you want us to be? Thank you for